Look, if you do have a Bible, please do turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 to 26. We're going to be unpacking these verses. And as you'll maybe see on the screen, as I just mentioned, we're looking at the whole idea of change. What does change look like in the Christian life? And of course, 2026, it's hard to believe we're here already. I was just born 1995, and I feel very old thinking it's 2026. Some of you may be saying, Phil, that's absolutely nothing. Wait till you get to my age. But it's hard to believe that we're here. And of course, at the beginning of the new year, as Kenny mentioned, comes a whole host of thoughts around resolutions. Thoughts around, okay, what kind of person do I want to be? I wonder what you've thought about. I wonder how it's going so far this year. Maybe you've said 2026, this is the year I'm finally going to lose weight. Do you know, I was chatting to a guy at the coffee dock in Ballylocken a few weeks ago, biscuit in hand, coffee in hand. He said, Phil, you've put on quite a bit of weight since you came to Ballylocken. And he's dead right. I put on about 2 stone since I joined 6 years ago. Lose weight. Maybe you're with me on that. 2026, the year we're going to lose weight. Maybe you've said, 2026, the year I'm finally going to save money. 2026, the year I'm finally going to get the garage cleaned. 2026, I wonder, have you started it saying, new year, new me? And I wonder, as you think about getting more, and as 2026 is rolling in, as we've kicked off this new year, I wonder, have you had similar thoughts in your spiritual life? I wonder if you had similar thoughts about your relationship with Jesus. Where would you like to see change? Do you know, I'm sure, I hope, that all of us in our Christian lives are saying, I would love to change in this area. 2026, the year where I finally start reading my Bible properly. Maybe you've thought with that similar mindset, 2026, it's the year where I'm finally going to see that sinful habit killed. 2026, the year that I'm going to cultivate a good prayer life. 2026, the year where I finally beat that bad temper. 2026, the year where I will forgive that person who hurt me. New year, new me. Look, I wonder if you thought like that a few weeks ago. How has the new year kicked off for you? Perhaps you're just a couple of weeks in and you're already feeling defeated. You've tried and you said, right, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But here we are, 18th of January, and maybe already you're thinking, I'm just going to pack it in. Do you know, this morning it's my hope and my prayer that for each of you guys here in Highkirk individually and as a church, that you would leave here this morning having real confidence that you can see substantial change in your life and in your character. And here's what we're not going to do as we look at this. We're not going to be chatting about strategy. We're not going to be chatting about effort and what we must do. But we're going to be looking at the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. How can the Holy Spirit bring about real, lasting change this year and beyond? And what we're going to do is begin to understand, not fully understand, but begin to understand the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of a Christian as he brings about that change in the lives of those who are trusting in Jesus. And as I say, it is my real hope, my real prayer that each of us, from this truth, not relying on ourselves, but through seeing and trusting in the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, would leave with confidence that we will see real lasting change. So look, before we dive in, I'm going to pray for us. We'll read the verses, and then we'll begin to unpack this. Let's pray. God, thank you that you are a speaking God. Speak to us clearly today, we pray. God, I pray that you would give each of us ears to hear you clearly. May you give us eyes to see you clearly. And God, as a result, may you work in our hearts to cherish you more fully, we ask. God, as we come to your word, speak to us now, we pray. And we ask it in your name. Amen. Okay. Galatians 5, 13 to 26. Do you have your Bible up in front of you? Read along with me and then keep it open. Here's what it says. This is God's word. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Amen. Look, there's the verses we're going to unpack as we begin again to unpack what it looks like for the Holy Spirit to bring about real change and lasting change in our hearts and lives. But before we do that, let me just say a couple of things again to clarify what we're not going to do. This is not a sermon that is going to cover the totality of the person and work of the Holy Spirit. You will be glad to hear that, because that is minimum a sermon series. So we're not doing that today. But to help us understand how the Spirit works in our lives, let me say three things to kind of frame the rest of the sermon so that it will help us understand how the Spirit works in us. So three things about who the Holy Spirit is that will help us understand how He brings about change in the Christian life. Here's number one. The Holy Spirit is God. Essential that we get this. The Holy Spirit is no less God than God the Father. He is no less God than God the Son. The Holy Spirit is fully God. And whilst, you'll be glad to know, we are not going to get into the depths of what the Trinity actually is, let me encourage you to grapple with the mystery of the Trinity. Maybe it's something you do all the time here in Highkirk. I'm not too sure. But if not, let me encourage you. Get some books. Chat with some people. Grapple with this mystery. Not so you can give yourself a big pat on the back and say, isn't it great I understand the Trinity a little bit more. But this is who God is. He reveals himself to us as a Trinitarian God. And the more that we can understand who he is, the more we will see him clearly, which will help us to love and cherish and worship him all the more. But that's the first thing. The Holy Spirit is God. Here's number two. The Holy Spirit shows us who God is. Do note, the Bible chats about many works that the Holy Spirit does, but perhaps the most important role that we see him have is that he shows people who God is. See, here's the truth for each of us sitting here today. That if any of us has any experience of God, it is because the Holy Spirit has worked in us. See, the Holy Spirit works a little bit like this. You've maybe heard this analogy before, but he works a little bit like a floodlight at a sports game. Imagine you went to Ravenhill or Windsor Park, nighttime game, floodlights not on. It would be a disaster. You couldn't see anything. You'd be trying to focus. You'd be kind of squeezing your eyes up a little bit, trying to make out what's going on. But then the floodlight comes on and everything is crystal clear in front of you. You can see it. The floodlight illuminates the truth of what is there so that you can see it clearly. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. He illuminates the truth of who God is so that we can see him clearly, so that we can savor him. He's like a floodlight. But not only that, we see he's a bit like a magnet. He pulls us towards God. He changes us so that we're attracted to the truth of who God is. Floodlight illuminates the truth of who God is. Magnet pulls us closer towards him. And as I say those two things, I wonder, can you think of moments and times in your life where you can think, yes, I see how the Holy Spirit's worked. Oh, I remember that time when the truth of Jesus became crystal clear. Oh, I remember that time where I felt drawn closer to God. If you felt this, then you have known the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Third thing, the Holy Spirit dwells in all Christians. I wonder if you're a Christian here this morning, does that truth blow you away? God dwells in you if you're trusting in Jesus. The one who has made the trillions of galaxies with their trillions of stars, the one who made the whole cosmos, dwells in you by his Spirit. And as we will see this morning, this changes everything. So three key truths. Keep them at the back of your mind as we chat about the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit shows us who God is. And the Holy Spirit dwells in all Christians. So, how does he change us? How can we leave here today with real confidence that the Holy Spirit will bring about lasting change in your heart and your life? Here's the first thing we're going to unpack. Number one, the Holy Spirit works in us moment by moment and day by day. Look down at verse 25 with me. See what it says? It says, since then we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Paul says, if you're trusting in Jesus, you live by the Spirit, therefore keep in step with him. Now later on the service, we'll unpack what it looks like to keep in step with the Spirit. But look at the way Paul writes about how the Spirit works. See, I think how he writes about how the Spirit works can smash what we often assume is the work of the Spirit. See, I wonder if I was to ask you this morning, tell me how the Holy Spirit's worked in your life. Where does your mind go to? Go for it, have a little think. There's the question. Where has the Holy Spirit worked in your life? Where does your mind go to? So I think for many of us, we would go to those moments of real significance in our life. Rightly so. If you ask me, my mind would go back to that time when I was 19 years old, when I think probably for the first time I understood that I contributed nothing to my own salvation, that it was all Jesus. It's all about him. I understood grace more fully. Absolutely knocked for 10, cried like a baby. You can ask me about it if you fancy afterwards. 19 years old, or I think about when I was 24. I read a book, totally transformed me. Helped me to see the wisdom of Jesus applied to the real world. I think about how I was changed during listening to a sermon when I was 28 years old. Real significant moments in my life where the Spirit illuminated the truth of Jesus and pulled me closer to him in extraordinary ways. Look, I hope as you think about that question for yourself, that you also can think of moments of real significance. Good. Praise God for them. Pray for more of them in your life. But if we limit those specific moments of significance in our life, if we say that that is the totality of the work of the Holy Spirit in the Christian life, do you know then we will be limiting his work? Because what we see from these verses is that he is an ongoing presence in our lives. And if we think that he only shows up for moments of significance, then rather than being that ever-present help with us, the Holy Spirit will become a little bit like the special guest appearance on a TV program. You're thinking, what on earth does that mean? Let me explain. Okay, anybody here watch any American TV programs? Give me a little nod if you do. I'm sure you do. They're everywhere. Netflix. Usually they start with the credits at the beginning, and you know how it goes. It's like starring this person, starring that person, written by them, directed by her. And then what you might see is this special guest appearance from Brad Pitt. Special guest appearance from Tom Hanks, whoever it is, enter your name there. But here's what you know is going to happen in that episode when you see special guest appearance. Here's what's going to happen. Some character's going to show up, and they're going to make a big impact. They're going to show up, they're going to have a big impact. They might be around for one or two episodes, and then they're going to disappear again. They might never come back, but they might come back. Who knows? It's the special guest appearance. Significant impact, off they go. Brothers and sisters, this is not how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. The Holy Spirit is not the special guest appearance in your life that will show up unannounced when you don't know when it's going to be, make a big impact for a brief time, and then disappear. See, Paul doesn't write in Galatians 5:25, keep an eye out for the Spirit. He doesn't say, patiently wait for the Spirit for when he turns up. He says, no. Since we live by the Spirit, keep in step with him. Friends, the Holy Spirit is the one that you live with moment by moment, day by day. He is the one ever-present presence in your life. And as he journeys with us in our lives, moment by moment, he seeks to do a work in us in every moment of every day. Oh, do you know, if you want to see real change in your life this year and beyond, it's crucial that we understand this. Because if we think we just have to wait for the Holy Spirit to turn up as a special guest, then inevitably we will start living our lives that like we are the main character. So you will start living your Christian life thinking that it's all about you and your will to bring about change. Look, you can absolutely believe that Jesus has saved you. You can be absolutely certain of your future in heaven. You might totally get that the Holy Spirit has illuminated the truth of who Jesus is, that he has drawn you closer to him, and yet still feel like the nitty-gritty day-to-day living of the Christian life is all about you. Friends, take hope. You are not on your own. Changing the Christian life is not about you grinding it out and praying and hoping for a guest appearance from the Holy Spirit. He is with you. Moment by moment, day by day, to do a work in your life. That's the first thing. But what is the second thing? What is his work? What does the Holy Spirit want to do in our lives? Well, here's the second thing. The work of the Holy Spirit is to produce his fruit in our lives. And let me just say that again. The work of the Holy Spirit is to produce his fruit in our lives. And what is his fruit? Verse 22. Some of you won't even need to look down to know these things. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That is the fruit of the Spirit. Yet if you're anything like me, I so often read Galatians 5, and how do I read Galatians 5? I think Paul's saying, but the fruit of your effort in the Christian life is love, joy, peace, and so on. See, I think for most of us living in the world, our natural default way to think is that change is all about us. And so when we come to read Galatians 5, how do we read it? If only I could do, then I will be. On 2026, if I just do this enough, then I will be more like that. And so what do we so often do? Again, this is maybe just me. You go off, you make a list of the things that you need to do. You go and buy the latest book from the best self-help author on self-discipline. You set your alarm for 5:30 in the morning and you say, if I can just pray more and read more, then I'll be better. Then I'll be changed. Brothers and sisters, if we think that that change in the Christian life is all like this, is all about us, is all about our will and doing more things and being better, do you know our Christian living will be some kind of warped version of self-help? Our Christian living will be all about self-improvement, adopting techniques, optimizing our life, so that we, through our effort, will bear the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, praise God that when we come to a passage like Galatians 5, we see that this is not the case. Praise God. Because what do we see? Look at verse 16 with me. What does God's word really say about change? He says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit, keep in step with Him, and He will do His work in you. Yes, we have a command. The Christian life isn't just putting the feet up and not no effort and no trying whatsoever. We have a command to keep in step with the Spirit. But here is the key thing to remember as we think about changing the Christian life. You, I, we cannot do the work that only the Spirit can do in the hearts of people. And the more we turn our focus simply on ourselves and our efforts, and if we do nothing in the Christian life but look ourselves in the mirror and say, I've got to do better. Do you know, if we live lives like that, we are trying to do a work that we have never been made to do. And if we live lives like that, we will try to carry a weight that we have never been made to carry. And friends, let me tell you, we will feel crushed. You can strive and strategize all you want, but apart from Jesus, you will feel weary from your striving and lost in your despair. But what does Paul say? Walk with the Spirit. Keep in step with Him. Follow Him. And as He shines the floodlight, not on you, but as He shines that floodlight on Jesus, walk with Him. And as He pulls you more towards Jesus, He will change you. So let's read verse 16 again. Keep in step with the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. So maybe you wonder, how does this work? But let me try and explain it through this. Give me a little wave or a little nod if anyone here drinks coffee, or if you know somebody who's a coffee snob. Going out, little wave, little nod. Okay, good. Okay, so you'll know what it's like. If some of you drink coffee, first time I ever had coffee, university, history degree, nothing to do except for like the final 3 weeks where you try and cram your whole dissertation in. And that was the moment I discovered coffee. Went to Lidl, student budget, found some random instant coffee, picked it up, first time I had it, and I thought, this is brilliant. Oh, coffee is some drink. I'm loving this coffee stuff. And it carried me through my dissertation, let me tell you. Coffee, brilliant. So, a few years later, I'm loving instant coffee. Go to a friend's house. What's he got? An espresso machine. Oh, what's this all about? He says, wait, you try this. This is real coffee. Puts in the little pod, hits the button, have a sip. Oh, now this is coffee. Nespresso. Amazing. But then again, a year later, I get taken out to a hipster coffee shop. Say, what should I buy? Someone says, oh, go for the £5.90 Colombian mixed blend pour over and you'll love it. So there I go, I offer it, I fork out half my wage for the coffee, I take a sip and I say, oh, now this is coffee. Look, some of you might be at any stage along that journey, but perhaps you are enjoying your 5.90 Colombian mixed blend pour-overs. And if you are that person, or if you know a person like that, and you know the moment you go into someone's house and they say, would you like a cup of coffee? You say, absolutely. And they reach up into the cupboard and they pull out their Tesco Gold instant coffee. Oh, you'll know what it's like. You shudder. Because you know how revolting it is. See what's happened? Something that you once thought was great, something that you loved, you now have no desire for because you have tasted something that is far greater. Friends, do you know, the Spirit will change us in a very similar way. Because as He illuminates more of who Jesus is, as He pulls us into the presence of God, He will show us that the sinful things that we used to love are nothing compared to the joy that is found in living in a loving and obedient relationship with Jesus. And as the Spirit enables us to see and taste more of Jesus, He will weaken our desires for the sinful things that we once loved. And just like how coffee snobs will shudder at the thought of instant coffee, do you know when sinful thoughts and desires rear their ugly head in the Christian life, so we will shudder and recoil because we know there is far greater joy in Jesus. Well, friends, look to where the Spirit illuminates day by day, moment by moment. Walk with Him on the path that He pulls you on, and He will bring about His fruit in your life. And that brings us to your final point. We've seen the Spirit, if He's going to bring around real lasting change, He does it moment by moment, day by day. We see His work is to bring about His fruit in our lives. And here's the third thing. How can we keep in step with the Spirit? We keep in step with the Spirit by remembering His personal presence with us. Look, again, this could be a whole sermon in and of itself. And we're just going to briefly touch on what it looks like to keep in step with the Spirit. But do you know, I think the promise of the personal presence of God with us has got to be one of the most amazing things we read about in the Bible. We see it so clearly, don't we? End of Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 28. I'm sure many of you will know those verses. The risen Lord Jesus, He's defeated death, and He stands before His disciples and He says, all authority on heaven and in earth has been given to me. All of it. And then what does He say? He says, go and make disciples of all nations, and then to give them that great source of confidence, He says, surely I am with you. Surely. And in case you don't get that, surely I am with you always. And in case you don't get that, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Friends, Jesus is with us personally through the presence of His Holy Spirit every moment of our lives. The person of the Holy Spirit observes every moment of our lives. He speaks to us. He seeks to lead us. And do you know, I think this has got to be one of the most neglected truths of the Christian life. And if and when we forget the personal presence of God in our lives through the person of the Holy Spirit, do you know the depth of our relationship and our love for God will reach a ceiling very quickly? See, it's a little bit like this. Think of someone that you deeply admire in life, but you do not know them. Okay, think of someone now. It could be an author, could be a singer. For my wife, this is Taylor Swift. There's no one else, it's just her. Think of someone that you absolutely admire in this life, but you do not know them. For me, it's I absolutely love films. And for me, it's a guy called Christopher Nolan. Anyone here know Christopher Nolan? Again, give me a little nod, yeah. New film coming out this summer. I cannot wait for it. His films are amazing. I watch them. They massively entertain me. Not only that, they move me. I've cried once or twice. I keep chatting about crying today. You're going to think I'm a crybaby, but I'm not. But his films have moved me. I think they're amazing. And because I see his work and admire his work, at times I say, oh, I love Christopher Nolan. Why? because my admiration of his work gives me a desire to know him. But here's the thing. I do not know Christopher Nolan. Christopher Nolan does not know me and probably will never know me. Can't just call him up. He doesn't live locally. Have no access to him. And because he is not present, my love, my admiration is distant and is totally limited through his work. Do you know, friends, if we forget the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, our love for God can be like that. You could be in awe of the wonder of God. You could watch a sunset up at the North Coast and think, isn't it amazing what God has done? You can look at the night sky and be blown away by the power and creativity of God. Friends, we can even look to the cross and be blown away by the grace of Jesus. But if we forget the presence of God in our lives, then our love for God will be a distant love and admiration of what he's done. But when we remember that God is with us, moment by moment, day by day, it changes everything. Oh, do you know, his presence in us means that you can live with confidence, knowing that you really do know the one that your heart longs for. And even better than that, you can live knowing that you are intimately known by the one who your heart longs for. Means that you look at the beauty of the world and you don't just say, oh, isn't it amazing what God has done out there? You can turn and know that he is right there with you and say, oh God, aren't you amazing that you have done that? Or you can know that when you say those prayers that he hears your voice right there and then and delights in you. Do you know his presence in us means that in those moments of fierce temptation, you are not alone. You can, in that moment, speak to the God who is with you and plead with him for help. And you can know with confidence that he is there and will give you what you need to persevere. Do you know his personal presence with us means that when we sin and when we mess up, just like we would with a physical person who is standing right there before us, we can say, oh God, I'm so sorry. Oh, please help me move forward. Thank you for your forgiving heart. And we move on with him. His personal presence means that we actively rejoice with him in our successes. We thank him regularly in the moment, and we rely on him to change us. Friends, do you know that the personal presence of the Holy Spirit in your life this year, you can live knowing this. There is not a single moment in your life where he is not there, and there is not a single moment where he is not seeking your best. And this year in 2026, as we walk with the Spirit, as we keep in step with him, we can live knowing with full certainty that God is with each of us in our individual circumstances. God is with you as you walk down the corridors of your school. God is with you this year as you adjust to your new job. God is with you this year as you deal with that debilitating health condition. God is with you this year as you battle that anxiety that nobody else knows about. He is with you in your circumstance, moment by moment, to bring about his fruit in your life. So this year, let's walk with him as close as our closest friend. And as we do that, we know that the Spirit will enable us all the more to see not will about, but to see his fruit in our lives. I'm going to invite the band up just as I close and pray for us. And before we respond with a couple of songs, but let's pray. and ask that God would help us towards this end. God, thank you that you are with us. God, thank you that in this moment we know that you, the eternal God of everything, the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth, you're with us every moment seeking to bring about your fruit in our lives. God, may we take great joy and comfort knowing that no matter what our circumstances look like this year, that word will ever remain true. Oh God, work in us so that we may know and see a ripe and abundant fruit of your Spirit. God, work in each of our lives towards this end for the joy of us as individuals, for the joy of this church, for the salvation of the world, and for the glory of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Let's, if you're able, stand and let's sing.